And good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Faith Foundations. My name is Greg Stevens. I'm an associate pastor here, but most importantly, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we are going to open the Word and continue from last week. I want to say thank you to all of you. I received a lot of emails and I don't know what they're all called, text messages and what is it called when somebody says something to you online, but it's not an email? Anyway, whatever that is, some kind of a message concerning last week, and I want to thank you for that, because I've been talking about covenants. And if you understand the covenant, that people ask me sometimes, like I would know, what the secret to Brother Copeland is. Well, I can tell you this. Whatever this says, he believes it and does it.
That's right.
And he operates from his covenant. That's the secret that I perceived. But anybody who does that will be successful in life and in ministry. And so today we're going to pick up part two of this and then finish this off next week. All right? Big week here at the ministry. You're going to want to be right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory. It's not the Believer's Voice of Victory. You're going to want to be on the Victory Channel all week long, because it's going to be a great week. We're excited about it. Here we go. You ready? Father, we bless you. We thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. I thank you for your word, sir. My faith in your word. I'll never be disappointed as a result of it. Lord, we ask you today to wash us in your word. We just ask you to wash all the stuff that we carried with us all weekend, all week, and brought with us into this place. We're going to be taught the word today, sir. We boldly decree and declare that our hearts are receptive, our minds are alert, that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, we're going from glory to glory to glory. You believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Here we go. Picking up from last time in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this, upholding all things by the word of his power. So everything is upheld by his word. All right? Psalm 89:34 is another great one. And these are reviews. It says, my covenant, now listen to God, listen to the way he talks. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Isn't that something? He'll never break what he says. If he says something to you, you can bank on it. Come on, guys. I'm telling you, if he says something, he's not like the weatherman. He gets it right. All right? If he said it, it's going to happen. And you got to understand something in our lives, and I don't think we fully understood this, that covenant is the key. It's the absolute key to this thing. There were 9 distinct covenants that God made with mankind, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about those. But if you understand this, and here's something I saw, well, I'll drill down on this in a moment. If you approached Jesus from the covenant that he was living in other words, if you approached him from the law, you usually left disappointed. If you approached him from the covenant of Abraham, by faith, you got what you were asking for. Oh my. I can show you examples of that time and time again. Because Jesus, you can, if you listen to the language, if you pay attention to the words, you'll hear it. He'll say stuff like, well, isn't it right that this daughter of Abraham, that's covenant. He never says son of Moses. He says, this daughter of Abraham, isn't it right that she should be healed? That's covenant talk. Over and over and over you see it. You see somebody scream out to him, son of David, have mercy. That's covenant talk. They recognize you are that promised seed of David that we've been looking for. That's covenant. He got what he was asking for. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years had gotten nothing because she had operated by the law. She was separated. Had she approached Jesus, well, she couldn't approach him with her condition under the law. She stepped outside of that and by faith, which is covenant of Abraham, approached him. Because the covenant of Moses had no faith to it. There's no faith. It is strictly obey. Come on now. Strictly obey. No faith required. But Jesus, when you approach him, he is that promised seed of Abraham. He is that promised seed of the woman. He's that promised seed of David. When you approach him by covenant of that, you always got your need met. And James warns us about praying amiss. I say this, I've learned this. many times when I have failed to receive, it's because I've tried to mix Jesus and Moses. See, you can't be, and I'll get into this in just a second. I said it last week, and it was kind of a shock for some people, so grab hold of your seat, brace yourself. You can't be married to Jesus and date Moses. That does not work out well. Shell, if I'm married to you and I'm dating somebody else, it... Did you feel that? I felt it. It does not work well, right? You can't even be flirting with.
That's right.
But we do that all the time. And so there's why many people fail to get their prayers answered, their needs met, because they have not fully understood the covenant and the benefits and the rights that we are in. So let me play a little clip I played for you last week. Watch right here. Play a little clip from Brother Copeland talking about this very thing. Watch this.
Once God has introduced something into the earth, the devil can't get it out. Don't ever forget that. Now he does his best to mess it up. He lie about it, you know. I mean, he does his best to act like it's gone, but he can't do it. No. Amen. And the blessing, we know what happened to it. Adam was given, well, you know the scripture that says, and God created the heavens and the earth and gave it to men, mankind, gave complete and total authority over all the works of his hands into the hands of the human race. Now, we know what Adam did with it, and he walked away from it and committed high treason, spiritual high treason before God. Now, he had the authority to do it, but he did not have the moral right to do it. Amen. So now, how long is the devil gonna be the God of this world? Now, he's not our God, but he's the God of this world. How long? Until Adam's lease is finished. When that's finished, he's finished. Glory to God.
Wow. And we're close to that. So there were 9 different covenants. He mentions the first one. The first covenant was made in Eden before Adam had fallen. It had one rule to it, if you would, the language of it. Well, the language of that covenant is the blessing. Brother Copeland has a book on that. If you do not have it, if you have not read it, you must get that book, The Blessing, because that's how he's learned what he's learned, is operating into that blessing. It's vital that you get that. If you've got it, reread the thing this year. Amen. The terms of it were to trust, the terms of that first covenant, trust him, have faith in him. Don't eat of this tree. Have faith in me. Don't eat of that tree. That was it. And there's three aspects to every covenant. One, there's the words of the covenant. Two, there's the cutting of the covenant. Three, there's the seal or the promise of the covenant. So in each of these, I looked at this and I'm thinking, where is that in Adam's covenant in the Garden of Eden before he was still, when he was sinless? God put him to sleep and opened up his side. And Adam gave of himself, the first Adam gave of himself, sinless Adam, and a bride was made. So your marriage covenant is part of the seal of the covenant of Eden. Oh my God. This is why it's vitally important. You can't let that be changed or redefined. Okay, I'll just keep moving on. So here's what happened. Eve weakened that covenant by adding words and actions to it. The wording was, don't eat of that tree. When you listen to her speak, she said, we can't eat of it or even touch it. So I submit, just thinking this out logically, that one day she's standing there, or Adam's standing there leaning on that tree, and nothing's happening to them. And that's when Lucifer says, did God really say? Because see, she added to the word, so therefore weakened it. My God. You have one word from God, we make paragraphs out of it. That's what they did. That's what they did with the law. By the time Jesus came, it was so perverted by tradition that they're accusing him all the time of breaking it. Okay, so the result of it was the fall. And immediately, Adam and Eve enter into works to cover their unrighteousness. Immediately, they made fig leaves. This is why Jesus cursed a fig tree on the last week of his life, because he said, no more covering sin, the second Adam, I'm going to eliminate this thing once and for all. It'll be finished. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So, because of the fall, each covenant now will reveal more of the plan. The prophets will speak more and finally speak Jesus into the earth. It actually is going to return the last covenant, which is the everlasting covenant, will return us to the Eden covenant. All right? So let's look at this real quickly. Then after that, we have the Adam covenant. And this is the first of the seed covenants. From her seed will come the Messiah. Then after that will come Noah's covenant after the flood. And the very first words Noah's going to hear will be a blessing, just like Adam heard. All right? He's the first person that will build an altar, and he's going to sacrifice a clean animal. And you think, well, yeah, so what? That was a big-time offering. No, you can catch that. When he sowed, right after the flood, we have the rainbow as a signal, right? Right after the flood, he sowed a clean animal. He offered it on the altar. That was a huge offering. Think about it for a second. It's after the flood. And he takes one of the clean animals and sacrifices it. There's not a lot of animals on the planet at the time.
Yeah.
Hello? Right? That's a huge offering. Dear God, for him who has ears, let him hear. Right? So next comes Abraham, and he makes a covenant with Abraham. Now, in Abraham's covenant, matter of fact, just go to Genesis chapter 17, please. Genesis chapter 17. Here's the thing. This is another seed covenant, and it works by faith. And the first words of this covenant are a blessing. And it's an everlasting covenant. Everlasting is how long? Does that mean it's still in effect today? And it's vitally important that you understand this one because you've been grafted into it. Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile. You've been grafted into it. And it says might come. That means you have to accept it. And you have to operate by the conditions of it, which are faith. Oh, goodness. Genesis 17, you ready? You there? My covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 3. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you father of many nations. I'm hearing blessing. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I'm hearing blessing. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I'm hearing blessing again. I will establish my covenant between me and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. There it is. To be a God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give your descendants after you the land. The land is part of Abraham's covenant. You can never separate the seed of Abraham from their promised land of Israel. Period. End of story. To try to do so puts you opposite of God and his covenant. Yikes. All right, here we go. All the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. How long does it belong to them? And I will be their God. At least three times he will say this is everlasting. This covenant was made not only with Abraham, but here's the interesting thing he does. He makes the exact same covenant with Isaac and with Jacob, all three of them. Isaac redigs the wells of his father Abraham. He makes the same covenant. All three of them will build an altar. The three fathers of the faith. Let me put it this way, the three in one. make a covenant with the three in one.
Yes.
It's not a coincidence. Abraham represents the Father. Isaac represents the Son. Jacob represents the Holy Spirit. Yep. It's not a coincidence, guys. So the terms of the covenant is faith. Well, what about the cutting of the covenant? There's no cutting of this covenant. Well, actually, there were. The bread and the wine first, that points to the priesthood of Jesus. We got Melchizedek. Remember that?
Yes.
Then the second one, Abraham cuts animals and separates the pieces, and he was not allowed to participate after that point. Remember that?
Yes.
The angel just kind of like pinned him down like this so he could watch the whole thing. But the Father and the Son are the ones who made the covenant of that, because Abraham would have been the weakest link in that thing. Okay? The next one was Isaac is offered, and that is a type and shadow of when Jesus will give himself. Isaac carries the wood upon his shoulders. They take two servants with him, so there's three of them going up the mountain. Come on, guys. He carries the wood on his shoulders and says, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? And he says, the Lord will provide himself. See, he had already been dead. It was a three-day journey. In Abraham's spirit, Isaac had been dead for 3 days. Types and shadows. Okay, it's absolutely vital that you and I understand that covenant, because we were placed in it, okay? It did not go away. I'll get more to that in just a moment. Let's look at some of the other things. Next, God is going to add a covenant with Israel because they boasted they could keep the previous covenant. When Moses saw the burning bush, God gave him a name to go and tell the Pharaoh and to tell the people, who sent me. You understand, they've been for 430 years with the gods of Egypt. They've pretty much forgotten their covenant with Abraham and who they are and what's been promised to them, because it's been pretty good in Goshen except for the last few years, right? Now, look at this. He says in Exodus 19, he says, bring them to me here. So he takes them right back to where he was. In Exodus 19, read this with me. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's what he does with you and I, guys. He brought the entirety of his chosen people to himself so that they could experience him as well. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, now look what he says, and keep my commandments. Is that what it says?
No.
If you'll keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people. Question. What covenant are we talking about? We're not talking about the Ten Commandments here. They haven't been given. That's tomorrow, right? It's the covenant of Abraham. If you'll keep that covenant of faith, you'll be a special people, a treasure. And then they boast, we will. In other words, and if you read the Hebrew, it says, we've been doing that and we'll continue to do that. But see, there's no knowledge of their failure in sin. And so he had to give them an example. Okay, let me show you how holy I am, and you are missing this, that you need a Savior, you need redemption. So the next day, he gives them the law. That's what happens. It's an interesting thing. How many of you have been here when I taught on the Aleph Tav, the first and the last letter? You remember that? That I say it's the initials of Jesus. And I don't have time to get into all of that. But it's very interesting. Right there in that chapter, Exodus 19, there's an Aleph Tav right next to that word covenant. If you will keep my covenant, and there's Jesus' initials. In other words, if you'll have faith in me, if you'll believe in me, my God. It's right there. So the Abraham's covenant, which is righteousness by faith, has been offered to them at Mount Sinai. And they said, we've already been doing that. We got this. And he said, okay, let me show you something. All right. Why do I say it's for Israel? You go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses called all of Israel. You go to 1 Kings chapter 8. The Lord made a covenant with Israel when Moses put two tablets of stone in the ark. There it is again. You go to Jeremiah 31. He made it with our fathers. And Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 9, He talks about who are the Israelites, and he refers to the giving of the law. In John chapter 1, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I mean, I give you verse after verse after verse after verse after verse that this was inserted to teach us, and it was given to Israel. Now, it's for us as an example, but you were given the covenant of Abraham. So let me say this again. In the life and ministry of Jesus, everyone who approached him by faith, covenant of Abraham, received. Everyone who approached him by the law, Moses, did not. Well, you're going to have to show me that. Well, I just told you about the woman, the daughter of Abraham. Your faith has made you whole. Read Hebrews chapter 11 sometime, and it says, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah. Right? What they did was, is they were living in the, some of those people were living in the time of the law, but they tapped into the faith of Abraham, which got them the blessing, because there's no curse with Abraham, just the blessing. Wow. But under the law, there's blessing and curse. The law says this, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. In our covenant, the new covenant, it says, I will, I will, I will, I will, because he did it. And so if my faith and trust is in him, it should be the simplest thing, easiest thing to get healed, yes, as it is to get saved. Amen. So you understand that he's reconciled the entire world unto himself.
Yes.
In other words, he's forgiven the sin totally. So you're saying everybody's going to heaven? No, I'm not saying that. You have our covenant, new covenant is conditional. You have to receive it. But we've gone to sinners and preached them and clubbed them over the head, Moses. And said, accept Jesus. So we're married to Jesus and dating Moses and preaching Moses. And if you'd go and teach them that you've already been forgiven, see, this will change the way you witness to people. You've got to see them. He sees the end from the beginning. He already sees them saved. If they'll accept it, you got to see that person, that ugly neighbor of yours. You've got to see the ugly neighbor as already redeemed and forgiven. And I just need to get them turned on to what's already been offered to them. Get them to accept it and they'll change. That changes things. Instead of seeing them as the ugly neighbor who cusses all the time and won't cut their grass. Come on, I'm trying to pick the most. Right? Oh my God. You got to see them. You got to start acting like your daddy and see them already redeemed. They just need to accept it. So if I'll present it right, they would be an idiot not to accept it. It should be the easiest thing in the world for everybody to be running into every church should be filled with people running in saying, I need what you've got. I want what you've got. We don't present it right. See, Moses didn't present it right. That's why he couldn't go in to the promised land. He was supposed to strike the rock the first time. Second time, he's supposed to speak to the rock, which shows them after the rock has been struck, Jesus, the first time, you won't have to strike him again. All you'll have to do is speak in faith and he'll do it. And when Moses misrepresented him, that's what caused him the problem. So preachers, do not misrepresent your covenant.
Wow.
If you want to enter your promised land, I'm about to get the preach on me. And David Ellis is back there. He can come fire that organ up. So the terms of our covenant are faith. They're faith. It didn't go away. So they boasted that they could keep it. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 32, the Lord states, listen to this. He's talking about his chosen people that have coming out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy 32, the Lord states that they have corrupted themselves, he said. They are a nation void of counsel. Oh, that they would understand their destiny. And the word he describes them as, he does not describe them as his family. In the Hebrew, you read it in Hebrew, he calls them goyim. Now, I don't know if that registers to you. What that? Do you know what goyim is? Do you know what goy is? It's a Gentile that doesn't have a covenant, used in certain situations It's not very flattering. Used in certain situations, it's really an insult. My God. And that's how he described his people. Isn't that something? They've been so long with the gods of Egypt, they don't know the benefits of the covenant of the blessing that they've been born into. And that covenant, listen to me, the covenant of Abraham, I read it to you just a second ago, was supposed to cause the nation they were in and everybody around them to be blessed as well. I will bless those that bless you. In other words, just because you're there, everything around you is blessed. Just because you live on your street, the grass on your street is greener than the street over there. What?
Yes.
What? Yeah, the paint's not chipping in my neighborhood like it is on that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting silly, aren't I? No, I'm not.
No,
no I'm not. The cars are nicer in my neighborhood.
Amen.
Come on, look at that work. That worked in Egypt. Joseph comes into that place a slave. Guys, you don't have a whole lot of rights when you're a slave. And ends up running the country, and the country and all the neighboring countries, even his own people, which were up in Canaan in Israel, were blessed as a result of Joseph. The grass should be greener in your neighborhood.
Amen.
Because you're there. I know I'm stretching some folks here today. I'm stretching me. Listen, I'm talking covenant right now. Because I'm in the covenant, because I'm the new creation, my neighbors should be glad I'm next to them, not going, oh, Jesus. If I'm going to walk in the covenant, that's the way it should be. People come to this property all the time and from outside. I talk to them, even in Fort Worth. They'll drive onto this campus and go, oh, my. I had a Jewish man that was just here visiting with me a month or two ago. And he lives in Israel. And he came and he went, oh, my, look at this place. Look at this place. And he's looking at our land as much as the buildings. I don't know if you know this or not. We have deer on this property. There's a lot of deer. This property, typically, all of the deer, all the does, the female deer on this property, typically have twins on this property because it's blessed.
Wow.
It's abundance. Now, that's not my words. I've talked to the security guys, and one day I talked to the game warden down here. He goes, you guys have a lot of twins on that. Must be something genetic. I'm like, yeah, it's called the blessing. Have you been down to the other end of the property and seen all the hay bales? They get numerous cuttings of hay on this property. Why? The blessing! And you attend here, and you sow here, and you're part of this place. That ought to be you as well. One day I was about to complain about it. I just mowed this grass. I got to mow my grass again. I realized, wait a minute. We get multiple cuttings. Where I work and the church I attend. That's just the blessing in my yard. Yeah. I'm not going to curse it. I'm going to mow it. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
So it's supposed to be a blessing to the nations around you when it's mixed with faith. That's Joseph. It's a picture of him. So the next day they receive the law under the covenant of Moses. Now here's the thing. You don't hear the usual blessing that you hear with all the other covenants. Not with the law. You don't hear it. All right? It's if thou shalt. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt. You are going to do this. No faith required. Here's what we got to understand. Jesus is 100% organic. He's 100% natural. No additives. Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
Yes.
The only thing you do is mix your faith with what he's already done and you receive it.
Amen.
That's how this works. It's really a simple thing. It's when we start trying to add. You go to the Father and you say, now, Lord, you know I have prayed and I have fasted and I have given. He's going to say, okay, let me tell you what something else you need to do. Oh, you want proof of that? You want proof of that? Let me tell you about a young guy, rich young ruler, comes to Jesus boasting, from my youth, good master, I've done this and this and this and this and this. And this. He's talking law. And it's true. He's telling the truth. And what did Jesus, how did Jesus respond to him? Well, let me tell you one more thing you should do. Because the law will always tell you one more thing you need to do. It's like looking in the mirror and then trying. Do you look in the mirror this morning? Okay, that guy over there may not have, but everybody else you looked at. Well, he didn't raise his head. He shook his head. No. You looked in the mirror, did you not?
Yes.
The mirror will tell you you need to comb your hair, but won't comb your hair. You didn't take the mirror off the wall and comb your hair with it. You didn't take the mirror off the wall and wash your face with it. It's incapable of doing that. That's the law. It'll show you what's wrong, but can't do anything about it. But the covenant of Abraham will pronounce the blessing on you. You'll look into this word of this covenant, and it will tell you what needs to be done, and you do that by faith, and it's done. Oh, my. If I was in the Lutheran church, they might have run by now. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So that's the covenant that they're given, right? After that, 40 years later, they're going to have an amendment to that covenant, and it's going to be to the children of Israel that are going into their promised land. And it's a land covenant. He's going to tell them, here's how you're going to operate in your land. Here's the way you're supposed to be. So these covenants were Israel, and they are examples of us, so that you cannot, here's what it was to prove, you cannot do this by your righteousness. You need a redeemer. It was, everything was supposed to point to the Redeemer. Next came another covenant. It's the covenant of David. It's another seed covenant. It's an extension to the covenant of Abraham. It's the final seed covenant. And once again, the Father's going to pronounce a blessing on that covenant of David. Now, after that, we have the one that you and I were born in the natural into. It's the covenant that we're in called the New Covenant. Our dispensation is referred to that, or it's referred to as the last days, or the church age, or the age of grace, okay? Ours is an everlasting covenant. And it's because it's a fulfillment of Abraham's covenant. It was ratified by Jesus. Instead of Isaac, Jesus paid the price for this one, okay? There's one more after us that we have not entered into physically yet. There's one covenant ahead of us. You excited about it? You know what it's called? The everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant. Now listen, let me help you with something. This is why people can get so frustrated. And I love you, but you're frustrated because you don't understand covenants. The everlasting covenant, you're already in it spiritually. Where are you right now? Well, I'm Fort Worth. I'm in Michigan. No, that's where you are physically, soulishly. But spiritually, if you're born again, Spirit-filled believer, you are right now positionally seated with him in heavenly places. Is that correct?
Yes.
Come on, you claim that all the time. See, you claim that all the time. But talk Moses. And you wonder why it doesn't work. And therein can be the frustration of your covenant. Because physically, you're still here. Soulishly, you're still here. Spiritually, you're seated with him. Positionally, you're there now. So if I've got that in my mindset, I began to talk out of my heavenly nature rather than my soulish nature, then everything changes. See, Jesus was already on the earth starting to talk from that place. Guys, it's good that I go away. I got to go prepare a place. I got to go do that. He's talking about everlasting covenant. See, you and I are already there.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.
You got to get this to soak. I'm just letting this soak. I'm letting you soak in this for a minute, because every time you get a new revelation or a new insight, you have to renew your mind to this. Yes. And this is what we're doing. We're renewing our mind to where we are positionally living here. So he talks to us about being ambassadors, does he not?
Yes.
He talks to us about we're in this world, but not of this world. Jesus will even pray in John, don't take them out yet. It's good that I go. But nevertheless, I pray for them. Come on, right? That they may be one as we are one. So we are one. We're already, and that's the body. We got to learn to be one, because this is where the power of agreement, this is where corporate anointing happens until we get there. Your flesh is not saved. It never will be. This part. It has no choice in what it does. I've used this example before. If I take my hand and I lay hands on him and I bless him, command the healing power to go into him, my hand is being used by the Spirit. If I take the same hand, double it up in a fist and pop him as hard as I can, it's the same hand, but it's now operating under the flesh. The hand has no choice in the matter. The flesh has no choice. This is why as many of these are the sons of God, they're led by the Spirit of God. I know it said it backwards, but that's okay. We're led by the Spirit of God because we're sons. That's operating from that positional place rather than our transitional place. We're in a transitional place.
Amen.
Operating in a covenant of faith. It should be the easiest thing in the world to get people healed when you get them thinking over where they're at. When you get them out of condemnation and Moses and get them into faith in Christ Jesus, they're saved. Now they're filled with the Spirit. Now they're healed. It's easy. Don't shout me down. So now listen to this. Let me give you an example. Let me share the importance of living in the right covenant. You can take a mule. You know what a mule is? I can take a mule, I can feed it like a thoroughbred, and wash that rascal, and dress him up like he's a thoroughbred racehorse. Put silk things on him and the whole thing. He'll look like a thoroughbred. Have him room and board with the thoroughbred horses. But the minute I put him in a starting gate at the Kentucky Derby, and that bell sounds and they say, and they're off, right? He's gonna act like a mule. Because that's his nature. We've trained people to be mules when they're thoroughbreds. Because we keep going back to that governor. See, the Mosaic covenant did not need faith. It only needed obedience. Remember what he told Saul? For obedience is greater than sacrifice. Remember what the king was told?
Yes.
Now, our covenant is an irrevocable covenant, but it is not unconditional. We're required to receive it by faith. John chapter 1. You go, are you okay?
Yes.
John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See, you weren't born of the will of flesh or the will of man. You're born of the will of God now. You changed. When you were born again, you turned from Adam to Jesus. See, you had Adam's family values. That's all you had. Oh, I've got a dysfunctional family. No, you don't. We all do. We were all born in Adam. Come on now. So when you were, all you knew was Adam. You were here. You had to turn, repent, turn, and embrace Jesus. Now, once you've turned and embraced Jesus, don't fall from grace and turn back.
Wow.
Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Got to hit you with some verses here real quick. You got to dance with the one that brung you, right? That's all I'll say. Quit dancing with Mo. I'm not saying that's bad and that's not for us. No, it's for us to point us to our covenant. Live in your covenant. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us, or with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places, everlasting covenant, see it? That's covenant talk, everlasting covenant, that in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Moses covenant. When you learn this covenant stuff, you can pick it out. Everlasting covenant, my covenant, Moses covenant. You see it on the Mount of Transfiguration. They go up there. Who's up there? Peter, James, John, Jesus. Yes? He's transfigured, and who do we have sitting there? We have Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And they're all like, whoa, look at this. This is cool. Totally gnarly, dude. Look at that. Wow. Tubular, man. Sorry, I went Southern Cal on you. Right? Dude, like whatever. So Peter speaks up and says, dude, this is righteous. What we should do is we should like build an altar for all three of you here. And while he's talking, God interrupts him. You never want that to happen. And said what he said at the beginning of his ministry. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Doesn't he say that? So now who's up there? Jesus. John describes him as grace and truth. Moses and Elijah. You have the law, the prophets, and grace and truth. Listen to grace and truth. Follow him. If you're going to be successful in your covenant. So we were given two seals to our covenant. Because I told you there's a seal to every covenant, right? Noah had the rainbow. Abraham, there were three things, but circumcision was one of them. So there were different seals to the covenant. And our seals are just as real as the rainbow. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll begin. I didn't write down what verses. You know what verses I'm in, right? Okay, here it is. Thank you. In him you also trusted. What verse is that? 13. I didn't write it on my paper. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him you trusted. In him you had faith. After you heard the word of truth. Whose truth? Jesus. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes. So your seal in your covenant is the Holy Spirit. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Can you pray in the Spirit right now?
Yes.
Prove it. Okay, so what did I just have you do? What did I have you do? I had you access the sealing of your covenant. Which tells me something. If I'm filled with the Spirit, that means my spirit man has been transformed into his image. That means my spirit man is in line and in the everlasting covenant. The fact that I can pray in the Spirit is proof. Oh, Jesus, my God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. It's proof. It's proof I'm in right place. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't have time to tell you a testimony about that. But listen to this. Paul defines the difference between our covenant and the law as Abraham's two sons. Having two sons, Ishmael represented the law. Isaac represented the new covenant. Go search this out. Once Isaac was weaned, it became obvious. Now listen to this. Once Isaac was weaned, no longer on milk, it became obvious that Ishmael was not to be the heir and had to be put away. Once you've gotten off the milk of the word, once you've got a little bit up here, then that law, we need to start now putting that away, and you've got to live from your spirit man. Yes. So that law is beneficial to you till you're weaned.
Yes.
Jeez, God. Guys, this is so simple and we make it hard. Then he describes it this way. Let me end here. He describes it as marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, it says this. I gotta go fast, okay? 1 Corinthians 7, 39. Just write it down and look it up in a minute. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whomever she wishes, only in the Lord. Romans chapter 7 says this. Verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's freed from that law so that there is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Now, we have preached this to people and beat folk up in the flesh. It's not what he's talking about.
Nope.
Watch this. Therefore, my brethren, you also who have become dead to the law through the body of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
That you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You cannot be the bride of Christ and be married to Moses.
That's right.
When Jesus became the curse of that law, when he became sin and it was nailed, you were crucified with Christ, the scripture says. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Nevertheless, you live. So you were married to that, but that died. So now you're released to be married to another. You're the, come on, somebody. You're the bride of Christ. Isaac, when Isaac was about to be crucified, he was killing him.
Yeah.
And he was going to offer up Isaac on that wood on the altar. Remember it?
Yes.
You don't hear from Isaac again after that. Until the next thing you hear from Isaac is his servant, another comforter.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Come on. The servant is going to get him his bride.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Jesus in the earth since he was crucified and rose from the grave. But then there's going to come a day when a servant's going to come and a shout's going to happen. Because the second seal, the first seal is you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. The second seal is a glorified body. You have not received that yet. The only person that has received that now is Jesus. He has received a glorified body. That's why I said to the lady, don't touch me. And then later he comes back after he's taken his blood to the mercy seat. He tells Thomas, all right, put your hands right here. Feel that. Right? He's in a glorified body, which is testament to you that that's coming. Because you have the Holy Spirit, you spoke in tongues just a second ago. It's promised that you are in that place positionally. And the next thing on the agenda for you is for this mortality to be transformed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. You'll put off whatever it is and you're going to have a glorified body just like the Lord Jesus Christ, because we see him and we don't know what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him. Amen. Glory to God. That's your covenant. I said that's your covenant. take a break. We'll pick it up next Sunday. Be back with Pastor George in just a minute.